The blood comes from a finger prick, a single drop, small enough to vanish on a glass slide. Inside a Silicon Valley startup, that drop is said to unlock hundreds of answers. Cholesterol, cancer markers, infections, all at once. Fast, cheap, revolutionary. Investors believe it. Generals and former secretaries of state believe it. The press repeats it. Pharmacies sign contracts. The valuation climbs into the billions. Behind the glass walls, the machines stay hidden. Engineers are separated. Questions are discouraged. Test results arrive late or not at all. When numbers do not match, they are adjusted. When employees raise alarms, they are warned. Silence becomes policy. Elizabeth Holmes stands at the center, calm and controlled, promising a future where blood tests no longer hurt. What patients do not see is the fear inside the lab, the workarounds, the data that does not hold. This is not a story about a failed invention. It is about how belief, power, and intimidation can carry an illusion long after evidence should have stopped it. Chapter 1. The Promise Behind the Glass. The pitch was simple and unsettling in its ambition. A single drop of blood, hundreds of lab tests, no needles, no waiting rooms, no vials stacked in plastic trays. Just speed, precision, and a future where diagnostics finally caught up to technology. Elizabeth Holmes delivered the message herself. She spoke slowly. Her voice was low and steady. She wore black turtlenecks and avoided excess movement. The image was deliberate. It suggested discipline, seriousness, control. In rooms filled with investors and executives, she framed Theranos as both a medical breakthrough and a moral mission. Blood testing, she said, was broken. Her company would fix it. The claim spread fast. Theranos said its machines could analyze minuscule samples of blood collected from a finger prick. The process would be cheaper than traditional testing and faster than existing labs. Patients would no longer need to give multiple vials. Doctors would receive results in hours, not days. Pharmacies could host testing centers. Preventive medicine would finally scale. There was one problem. No one outside the company had seen the technology work. The devices stayed behind glass. Visitors were guided through offices designed to look open but feel controlled. Teams were separated. Access was restricted. Employees worked on narrow tasks without understanding the full system. Questions about the core device were redirected or delayed. Secrecy was framed as protection of intellectual property. This secrecy did not slow enthusiasm, it amplified it. Theranos built a board filled with former generals, diplomats, and senior government officials. Most had no background in laboratory science. Their presence signaled credibility and power. If these people believed, others followed. Due diligence became lighter. Verification was assumed to have happened elsewhere. Media coverage reinforced the narrative. Profiles described Holmes as a visionary founder. Comparisons to tech legends appeared again and again. Articles praised her discipline and her refusal to compromise. The story of a young woman disrupting medicine proved irresistible. The harder details stayed vague. Inside the company, the mood was different. Engineers and lab staff worked long hours under constant pressure. Performance expectations were extreme. Deadlines were treated as immovable. Failure was not framed as a learning step. It was treated as weakness. Meetings focused on progress reports, not limitations. The core device was presented as nearly ready, always improving, always just short of perfection. When early tests produced inconsistent results, explanations were improvised. Calibration issues, software glitches, environmental interference. Each problem was described as temporary. Some employees asked direct questions. How accurate were the results? How did the device handle variability? Why did outcomes change when samples were rerun? Those questions did not lead to open discussions. They led to closed doors. Theranos relied heavily on non-disclosure agreements. Employees signed them on arrival. The documents were strict. Violations carried serious legal consequences. Legal teams were visible and active. The message was clear. Information stayed inside. Holmes remained the public face. She spoke about democratizing healthcare. She described patients who avoided doctors because of fear. She positioned Theranos as a humane alternative. Each appearance reinforced the company's moral framing. Criticism sounded cruel by comparison. Investors asked about validation. They were told it existed. Data was referenced but not shared. Partnerships were mentioned without details. Trust replaced transparency. The company's valuation climbed. private funding rounds pushed Theranos into the category Silicon Valley reserved for rare successes. The word unicorn followed. Employees were told they were changing the world. The pressure intensified. Behind the scenes, internal warnings began to surface. Some lab results did not match established benchmarks. Certain tests produced errors that could not be explained away. Accuracy varied depending on the type of analysis. These concerns were logged, discussed briefly, then deprioritized. Fixes were promised later. Leadership focused on expansion. Retail partnerships were announced. Testing centers opened inside major pharmacy chains. Patients began submitting samples. The system moved from theory to practice. Yet the machines at the center of the promise remained elusive. Theranos demonstrated devices selectively. Guests were shown prototypes or limited demonstrations. Full validation remained off limits. The explanation stayed consistent. Trade secrets had to be protected. The future was close. Inside the glass walls, employees felt the contradiction. The public narrative said the technology worked. Internal experience suggested it did not work reliably. That gap created fear. Raising concerns carried risk. Careers were at stake. Legal consequences loomed. Loyalty was rewarded. Doubt was not. Holmes maintained tight control over messaging. Updates flowed downward. Feedback did not move upward. Executives reinforced confidence publicly while managing uncertainty privately. The company's identity became tied to belief. Theranos reached a point where stopping would have meant admitting failure. Contracts were signed. Patients relied on results. Investors expected growth. The illusion required constant maintenance. This pressure shaped every decision. Employees were told to focus on execution, not debate. Problems would be solved through effort and secrecy. The narrative had momentum. Slowing it down was not an option. From the outside, Theranos looked unstoppable. A bold idea, powerful backers, media praise, retail partnerships, a founder who seemed unshakable. From the inside, the foundation felt unstable. By the end of this phase, the company stood at a dangerous height. It had promised a revolution without proving its tools. It had replaced verification with trust. It had built a culture where silence was safer than honesty. The valuation reflected belief, not evidence. And as the company expanded its reach, the cost of being wrong grew heavier with every drop of blood drawn. Chapter 2, Inside the Machine. The workday began before sunrise and ended whenever exhaustion forced it to stop. Inside Theranos, time was not measured in hours but in deadlines. Every week carried urgency. Every delay felt dangerous. The company was expanding faster than its technology could support, and everyone inside knew it. Lab technicians moved carefully. Procedures changed often, sometimes without written instruction. One day a test would follow one protocol. The next day it would be altered quietly. Staff learned to adapt without asking why. Consistency mattered less than output. The proprietary machines were present, but they were not doing the work the public believed they were doing. According to internal accounts later reported, many tests were run on traditional commercial analyzers purchased from other manufacturers. These machines were modified, adjusted, and hidden from view. Results were then framed as part of the Theranos system. This workaround created a fragile process. The machines were not designed for the tiny samples Theranos promoted. Blood collected by finger prick often had to be diluted. Dilution increased error risk. Accuracy fluctuated. Some tests worked reasonably well. Others did not. Failures accumulated quietly. When results came back inconsistent, technicians reran samples. When numbers conflicted, supervisors made judgment calls. When outcomes could not be reconciled, results were sometimes voided or delayed. Patients were rarely informed of internal uncertainty. The pressure to deliver never eased. Employees described a culture shaped by fear. Surveillance was routine. Email access was monitored. Conversations were discouraged outside assigned teams. Managers reminded staff of their legal obligations regularly. The legal department was not distant. It was embedded. Non-disclosure agreements governed everything. Leaving the company did not end their reach. Former employees were warned against speaking to anyone, including regulators and journalists. Threats of lawsuits were explicit. The message was reinforced through action. Some employees tried to raise concerns internally. They documented inaccuracies. They flagged risk to patients. They asked for pauses or independent validation. These efforts did not lead to reform. They led to isolation. whistleblowers were labeled as disloyal, their access reduced, their responsibilities were narrowed. In some cases, they were pushed out entirely. Departures were framed as performance issues or personal choices. The company maintained a sharp divide between leadership and lab reality. Executives emphasized progress and vision. Lab staff dealt with error rates and technical limitations. Communication across that divide was limited and controlled. Retail partnerships increased the strain. Testing centers inside pharmacies expanded access to patients. Samples arrived in growing volume. Turnaround expectations shortened. The lab infrastructure struggled to keep pace. The margin for error narrowed further. At the same time, regulatory exposure began to surface. Clinical laboratories in the United States operate under strict oversight. Inspections are routine. Standards are specific. Theranos had avoided deep scrutiny for years through regulatory classification and limited transparency. That protection began to erode. Inspectors requested documentation. They asked about validation studies. They reviewed procedures. The gap between Theranos' claims and its practices became harder to conceal. Deficiencies were noted. Corrections were requested. Internally, these developments triggered alarm. Meetings grew tenser. Instructions became more restrictive. Staff were told to limit what they shared. Documents were revised. Language was adjusted to emphasize compliance. The machines still did not perform as promised. Engineers continued working on improvements, but progress was uneven. Some technical hurdles proved more stubborn than expected. Miniaturizing lab processes without sacrificing accuracy was far more complex than the pitch suggested. These realities were known inside. They were not acknowledged outside. Journalistic interest began to rise. Reporters asked detailed questions. They requested data. They sought independent verification. The company responded with controlled interviews and general statements. Access remained limited. Critics were dismissed as uninformed or biased. Internally, anxiety deepened. Employees understood that once outsiders gained a clear view, the narrative could collapse. Silence became not just policy, but survival strategy. Leadership responded by tightening control. Meetings were compartmentalized further. Staff were reminded of loyalty. Optimism was emphasized publicly and demanded privately. Doubt was framed as sabotage. The disconnect between mission and reality weighed heavily on some employees. They had joined to improve healthcare. They found themselves managing risk and concealment. Moral discomfort grew. Some employees chose to leave. Exits were quiet. Severance agreements reinforced silence. Others stayed, hoping fixes would arrive in time. The company operated on borrowed confidence. Regulatory scrutiny intensified. Inspectors returned. Documentation gaps widened. Accuracy concerns were documented formally. Certain testing practices were questioned directly. The protective fog began to thin. The internal response focused on containment. Procedures were adjusted temporarily. Problematic tests were paused quietly. Leadership maintained public confidence. The story outside remained largely intact. But inside the machine, cracks were visible everywhere. Data integrity suffered under pressure. Quality control became reactive instead of preventive. Each day added complexity. Each day increased risk. The system relied on people compensating for technological limits. Employees described a sense of inevitability. They knew the truth could not stay hidden forever. The question was not if exposure would come, but when. As regulators and journalists pressed closer, the company faced a narrowing path. It could slow down, disclose limitations, and reset expectations, or it could continue forward, hoping belief would outlast evidence. Theranos chose momentum. By the end of this chapter, the illusion required constant effort to sustain. The machine still fell short. The culture still enforced silence. And the outside world was finally beginning to ask the right questions. The walls of glass no longer looked transparent. They looked like barriers, and pressure was building on both sides. Chapter 3, Collapse and Reckoning. The illusion did not break all at once. It fractured under pressure, piece by piece, as scrutiny finally reached the places Theranos had worked hardest to shield. What had been dismissed as skepticism became reporting. What had been framed as misunderstanding became evidence. The story moved from admiration to examination, and the shift was irreversible. Investigative journalism brought internal practices into public view. Former employees spoke, some cautiously, some openly. Their accounts described workarounds, unreliable results, and a culture built on fear rather than transparency. These were not anonymous rumors. They were detailed descriptions of how the company actually functioned. The gap between promise and practice became visible. Regulators followed the trail. Inspections escalated. Findings were formalized. Deficiencies were no longer internal concerns managed quietly. They became documented failures. Certain testing operations were suspended. Certifications were questioned. The authority Theranos relied on to operate was now the force restricting it. Partnerships began to unravel. Retail pharmacies halted testing. Contracts were reevaluated. Institutions that had once promoted the service withdrew quietly, then publicly. Confidence eroded fast once doubt became acceptable. The same momentum that had carried the company upward now pushed it down. Investors reacted unevenly. Some claimed they had been misled. Others acknowledged they had trusted too much. Board members distanced themselves. The prestige that once shielded the company offered no protection in the face of documented failures. Valuation collapsed. Funding dried up. The unicorn vanished. Patients entered the story more clearly. Reports surfaced of individuals who had received inaccurate results. Some had been told they were healthy when they were not. Others had been alarmed unnecessarily. The human cost of unreliable diagnostics moved the issue beyond corporate misconduct. This was no longer just about startup culture. It was about real-world consequences. Legal accountability followed. Charges were filed based on allegations of fraud and misrepresentation. Prosecutors outlined cases built on documented communications, investor presentations, and internal records. The distinction between allegation and proven fact became critical. Courts would determine guilt, not headlines. The trial brought controlled narratives into open conflict. Testimony described internal operations under oath. Emails and documents were entered into the record. Claims were challenged. Defenses were presented. The process was slow and procedural, stripped of mythology. This was not a pitch. It was a legal examination. The outcome marked a turning point. Convictions and sentences followed according to the court's findings. The consequences were concrete. They carried weight beyond the individual. They signaled limits to the tolerance of deception, even when wrapped in innovation rhetoric. Theranos as a company ceased to exist in any meaningful form. Assets were sold or dissolved. Employees moved on. The buildings emptied. The brand became shorthand for failure. What remained was a case study taught in business schools and ethics seminars, not as inspiration, but as warning. The reckoning extended beyond one startup. Silicon Valley faced uncomfortable questions about its culture. Speed over verification, vision over evidence. Charismatic founders shielded by powerful allies. The assumption that disruption justified secrecy came under scrutiny. Investors reevaluated how much trust they placed in narrative alone. Media organizations reflected on their role. Early coverage had celebrated ambition without demanding proof. Access journalism had replaced skepticism. The Theranos story became a reminder of the press's responsibility, especially when health and safety are involved. Regulators adjusted frameworks. Oversight mechanisms were reviewed. Gaps that had allowed prolonged opacity were examined. While reforms varied, the case highlighted the need for earlier intervention when medical claims outpace validation. For former employees, the aftermath was complex. Some felt relief. Others carried lasting guilt. Many had entered the company believing they were helping patients. They left understanding how easily good intentions can be bent by pressure and fear. Speaking out carried personal cost, even after vindication. The story settled into history, but its lessons did not fade. Theranos did not fail because innovation is dangerous. It failed because evidence was treated as optional. It failed because power insulated belief from challenge. It failed because intimidation replaced accountability. The final cost was not just financial or reputational, it was trust. Trust between patients and providers. Trust between investors and founders. Trust in the idea that technology improves lives when guided by honesty and proof. The illusion had been convincing. It lasted years. It attracted billions. It changed careers and lives. But in the end, the truth did what it always does under sustained pressure. It surfaced, not dramatically, not heroically, just steadily, until there was nowhere left for it to hide.